Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13 this morning, that the statement that is being made by Jesus in that passage is really about preparation. Doesn't matter if you want to apply that lesson to the end of time or if you want to apply it to what I believe Jesus was teaching there, specifically about the destruction of Jerusalem. Preparation is still the message. And so it's applicable to both situations, both conditions that existed back 2,000 years ago and that exist as far as the need for preparation today. And we understand, of course, in that parable that there were those that had made preparation. They had recognized the importance of what it was that they were engaged in. They recognized what they needed to do. They made complete preparation before they engaged in the activity that they were there to do. And then there were those that didn't. They just acted haphazardly. I wish that every member of this congregation could either go fishing or target shooting with Daryl Glover. It is a study in preparation. If you're going fishing, he makes sure that he has fresh fishing line. He has all of his equipment. And then he goes the extra mile. He brings a stool to sit on. And because he knows that I'm not quite as prepared ever as he is, he brings a stool for me to sit on. He even prepares for me. And wherever he goes out to shoot his gun, he has all the different loads that are there. And he has this device that tracks how fast the bullet goes. And everything is set up just perfectly. And he does all of that because he wants a positive outcome to what it is that he's doing. And most time he walks away the fish. Sometimes he doesn't. But most times he walks away the fish. And all times he gets some sort of feedback on what he's doing if he's target shooting. But he made preparation. I want to talk about preparation this morning and really proper preparation. You know, in growing up in sports, I had heard many times, practice makes perfect. And that is not correct. Perfect practice makes perfect. And there's nothing more evident than that than going to the golf course. And looking at people out on the practice range, and you can tell who has read the latest edition of Golf Magazine and all the different advice that is given there, because they're doing all that, but yet they think they're doing it, but they're actually practicing what they've always been doing in the past. They're not getting better. Perfect practice makes perfect, and proper preparation makes us ready. I want to consider this from three aspects. First of all, it's about me. Preaching the sermon. And there has to be preparation that goes along with it. The responsibility is there for the preacher. And wherever I'm talking about the presentation, the sermon that is made and the preparation that is made is not about what is shown on the overhead. It's not what is shown, rather, on the projector. That's just a picture. That doesn't matter. And I'm afraid that today there are more that are concerned with the slick presentation that is being presented than the substance of the word that really they should be concerned about.
Amen.
I'm afraid that they haven't done what they should do in connection with the preparation for the sermon. What they actually do is reverse this image with very little preparation and then spew at the mouth for many, many minutes when they stand before people making filler, rather than speaking to what is needed by the hearers. There's an accountability that preachers have in preaching the gospel of Christ, and that is in connection with proper preparation to do so. In the study that they engage in the way that they have themselves conditioned for Sunday morning, for Sunday afternoon, for Wednesday when they come to teach, that it is not an afterthought that they are standing before you, but it is their purpose, it is their intent with an expectation at the end of that, so that, number one, they can discharge their duty, and number two, so that souls will hear the truth. And let me just also add to that, lessons that the souls need to hear. Lessons that the souls need to hear. Think about that from the standpoint of what took place on the day of Pentecost in Acts the second chapter. Here you have, beginning in verse 22 of Acts the second chapter, Peter that delivers this great sermon. And the overview of the sermon is very simple because it is repeated every time that Jewish people heard the gospel of Christ 2,000 years ago. And the message was the same. The message was this: Jesus of Nazareth is Messiah. Jesus of Nazareth is the one that was crucified. And Jesus of Nazareth is the one that rose from the dead. Whenever Peter gave that lesson, beginning there in verse 22 and going on down to about verse 41, along with words that we don't have recorded for us, but with many other words as states there in the record. He did not talk about that which was not needed. He talked to those people about what was needed, about what they really needed to hear. Contemplation by the preacher requires, and true preparation by the preacher requires, an understanding of what the congregation needs to hear. If I stood before you every Sunday and I made a plea, just from the standpoint of making the plea and not as far as a teaching of edification or learning, but I just made the plea to try to convince you that there is a God in heaven, it would be like the old proverbial statement, preaching to the choir. I would be stating things that everyone already knows and believes, for the most part, as far as I can tell, about this congregation. And if that was the only topic that I ever preached, I would not be preaching that which was needed by the congregation. So what I look at, and what every preacher should look at in proper preparation, is what is needed by the congregation, what needs to be heard by the congregation. And it varies. And there needs to be several things that are addressed in congregations because of the conditions that exist among the membership. There needs to be that preparation that is made, though, that in what is presented there is an understanding. And it's not about guesses that are made. It's not about loose ends that are left out there, but really tying together that which God says from His Word. It's not His opinion, but it is God's Word. It is the standard that He has given, the preparation in connection with that. And then I have a rule as far as my preaching is concerned. I stand up, I speak up, then I shut up, and then I sit down. Sometimes that's about 25 minutes, sometimes it's 45 minutes. But I believe it is dictated by what is needed by the congregation. This is what Paul says to Timothy. First of all, in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 15, we all know that passage. Give diligence to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. Rightly dividing in the King James Version. I really like the American Standard in this. Handling aright the word of truth. And I'll tell you the reason that I like that. It has to do with the preparation that I'm speaking of in connection with the truth that is presented through God's Word and with the thought of proper context in mind. Think about that for a moment. I believe that sometimes if we don't get the proper, every time, let me rephrase that, every time when we don't get the proper context, we don't get the full teaching that is being given by God's Word. I was visiting with some members on Thursday, talking about hearing a preacher stand up and use Matthew the 18th chapter and verse 18, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Making application to the fact that if there's just a small group, or even if we're at home and we're worshiping there, well, the Lord is present. Well, I'll ask you, is that the context? It certainly is not. And we understand that by what the psalmist says in connection with where the presence of God is. Where is it that we can go when we're not before the Lord? And so whenever we take Scripture and we do not apply it in the proper context, by the way, Matthew 18, chapter verses 18 through 20 is talking about verification of the teaching of truth. And when we don't make the proper application by the preaching and the teaching in accordance with God's will, we have missed the truth that is there. We've missed the truth that is there. And so a preacher is to be prepared to the point that he handles aright the word of truth in accordance with context, in accordance with what is being stated by God's will, because we don't know the mind of the Lord other than by what he has revealed unto us through his word. And then we look at 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13. And Paul tells Timothy there, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture." And Vincent says this about that thought, that public reading of Scripture with comments. And I think he's right on that when you look back at the use of the Greek word that is there. To the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. And I'm afraid that sometimes we run through these passages so quick, we don't really take time to read them. And there's something about the reading of God's Word that Paul wanted to impress upon Timothy's mind, that it was important that the Word of God, Scripture, be read and explained so that there would be exhortation, so that there would be teaching from the doctrine that is given through God's Word. And we see the application of this when we look back in Nehemiah the 8th chapter. When the people call for Ezra, the priest, to bring out the book of the law. And he brings out the book of the law, and wherever they see the book of the law, they stand. And they stand and they listen to God's word. But not only is Ezra reading from that book, but you have the Levites that are walking through the crowd. And as the word is being read, the Levites are talking to the people. Do you understand what is being read? Do you understand what it is? And then they would give the sense or the explanation if there was not the proper understanding of what the reading was. This is a good application of what it is that Paul is telling Timothy about. There needs to be the reading of Scripture, but also with the comment to a better understanding. Why? Because that leads to preparation. Preparation of souls. Preparation of living the Christian life. And so preachers are to engage themselves in that. But also in 1 Timothy 4, verse 15 and 16. He says, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. In what? In the delivery of the sermon, in the preparation that you make, in the study of God's word, in the diligence that you give unto it. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. Preachers are not to have a casual knowledge of Scripture. Preachers are to have a good understanding of Scripture. And I will tell you that as time goes on, that changes. Because there are some things that come, and this is not lip service, and never should be. And I think we've heard it so many times. We know every time I read the Bible, I find something new. And sometimes I'm afraid that that's just lip service. It's lip service from the standpoint of they hadn't looked in their Bible very often. If they hear anything, sure it's going to be new to them. That's not the point. The true application of that is that we continue to grow in the understanding and the knowledge of what God's Word has for us, because we are involved in the Word. We immerse ourselves in the Word. It says, so that all may see your progress, your growth. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. Not that the man saves, but rather God's Word saves, because of the preparation that is given, because of the message that is brought forth, because of the reception by those hearers that hear the truth, realizing it's the power of God. Paul did not say in vain, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to all them that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." He said that in Romans 1 and verse 16. And so I start this morning in connection with this lesson on preparation with myself. It is exhortation and admonition to me that when I stand before you, that preparation has been made for the lesson that I am giving. And it's not something that is off the cuff. It is not something that I've not given thought about, but rather it is something that I've contemplated on, meditated on, immersed myself in order to present to you what I understand to be the truths from God's Word. Anything short of that is not proper preparation and does no good for you or for me. But also, there's preparation for hearing the sermon. There's preparation for hearing the sermon. This is the congregation's responsibility. The preparation for hearing the sermon. And there's several things that are involved here. Some, in one aspect, there's a physical preparation that is made. And I've seen this happen before in some of my family members from times past and so forth. They go out on Saturday night and completely wear themselves out with the frolic and fun that they were involved in. And Sunday morning come and they just cannot get up and they cannot come to services. They just can't do it. They spent all of their effort in preparation of that which was carnal and enjoyment and entertainment rather than that which was in anticipation of that which is spiritual for the next day. And brethren, we need to make sure that we make preparation in connection with that so that we are fresh and ready. That's what we give to the Lord. A fresh and ready mind and not one that is worn out and tired because of all the fun and frolic we had the night before. So it starts out physical. It starts out with getting here not just on time, but getting here before time. And I will quote my beloved brother Jim Everett, if you're on time, you're late. We need to be here before. And it really shows forth an attitude of preparation that we have. And then also in connection with that, for hearing the sermon, I view the classes that we have. The classes that we have as a preparation for hearing the sermon. Because we have already had our minds fixed upon and meditating upon God's word in our classes, which, by the way, we should have already been prepared for before we ever come. To then have our minds primed, as it were, to hear the word of God preached. Because we're already thinking about spiritual things. And I understand, and I'm not much of a preacher. I understand that. But I will say this, that when we get in Bible study, it gives us an avenue, an opportunity to really delve into God's word even more than what the sermon can do, because it's just a short period of time. At least most of you pray it's a short period of time. But in that form, if you're missing the classes, you are missing a wealth of study and information, not just from the preacher, but from all that are present in that class. And you are also missing the opportunity to get clarification and more understanding by asking questions. And we miss out, if you're not here, by the comments that you make in the class that we can gain from spiritually in an understanding of God's word. And so there's a preparation that is there for the congregation to make, for each and every one of us, that we are fresh, we are ready to study God's word, that we prime our minds, that we come in here and we are ready to listen to God's word because we're already in that focus. We're already ready because we made preparation to hear God's word proclaimed. And I'll tell you, that is a great blessing. I don't care who the preacher is. If he's preaching the truth, no matter how poor I am as far as the presentation is concerned, I have some really good material. It's God's word. That is some grand material. There's none better. There's none better. This is what is stated in Acts 17 chapter, verse 10 and 11. We know this passage. But I will be as Peter. I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, though you already know them. He says in Acts 17, verse 10 and 11, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, when they were come thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these at Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. They were making preparation, making spiritual preparation to hear and to understand God's word and following along and questioning what it was that was taught. Even though it was taught by an apostle, we want to make sure ourselves that what is taught is in accordance to God's word. We can hear what you say, but we're going to follow along and make sure that what you're saying is truth. And that's a prepared mind in order to do God's will. When we look in James 1:19 through 21, James says this, you know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. That's listening to this sermon. listening to it, receiving it, because it has an effect upon where we will spend eternity. If we listen to it, and as we're going to make in the next point, we apply it in our lives, it leads into the salvation of our souls. In Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 32, they said to one another, and this is the two men on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and Jesus was teaching them. As a matter of fact, what Jesus taught them there was all of the prophecies that were made in the Old Testament concerning himself. Wouldn't you have loved to have sat and listened to that sermon? What a sermon that was. It says, was not our heart burning within us while he spake to us in the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And there was none that could do it like the word himself. I'll tell you, because we recognize that the word is the word of Christ, the word is God's word, that if we have properly prepared ourselves when the preaching of God's word comes, our heart should be burning. Our heart should be burning. Oh, we want, don't stop. And we sing a song about, tell me the old story. Tell me the story of Jesus. We sing songs about that. Because it is comfort, it is instruction, and as it should be in connection with preparation, it is our desire. It's our desire. Here's the last point, applying the sermon. And when we think about that, that's everyone's responsibility. I know this is an old cliche, but it just happens to be the truth. There is not anyone in this congregation that has benefited more by the preparation and hearing of the sermons than myself. I get more benefit than any one of you. And I'm not being flippant with that. That is absolutely the truth. I look at these things, and first of all, I look at them in connection with how do I make application in my life. I see the things that are lacking in my life. I see the things that need to be corrected in my life, because I've come to that understanding by the preparation that I've made through God's Word. Not just to preach it, but also to hear it. And Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 9 chapter, verse 27 and 28. He feared that if he did not buffet his body, he too could become a castaway. He was talking there about application. But here we have the preparation for applying the sermon. And you know that goes now to the heart. To the heart. We cannot really take and apply the sermon. And as a matter of fact, we will not want to apply the sermon unless our heart is right with the Lord. We will set back and we will make excuse. We will set back and give all kinds of reasons. We'll set back, you know, I've changed my mind about some things. We'll set back and we'll make all sorts of statements and everything unless we've made proper preparation with our heart to realize that God's Word is authoritative. God's Word is for our benefit. God's Word helps us. God's Word saves us. And to realize, also from a standpoint of humility, and that is prepared for also, there may be some things that are lacking in my life, and I need to make some changes. I need to listen to God's Word. And I've heard people say before in lessons that I give, and I meet them in the foyer, I wish so-and-so was here. Well, what about you? What has it done for you? So-and-so is not here. But did it help you in any way? Everyone's responsibility is in applying the sermon. Matthew 7:24. Jesus says, everyone therefore that hears these words of mine and doeth them, there's the application. Hearing the word and then making application, doeth them, shall be likened to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Jesus was talking about preparation for application and then making it. Then in Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13, Paul says, so then, dear friends, as you always obeyed me when I was with you, it is even more important that you obey me now while I'm away from you. Keep on working with fear and trembling to complete your salvation, because God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey his own purpose, but only if we make preparation for that. When we think about the preparation that we make, it really does go back to a heart condition. I hope that there are none here that take this sermon and say, well, done and over. Don't have to worry about it anymore. But I hope that each and every one of us will contemplate these things and think on these things. You know, when you think about preparation, Darrell Glover's pretty good in preparation. He doesn't hold a candle to our Lord. Christ Jesus, before the world was ever founded, along with all deity, made preparation in the plan of redemption for you and me. Without having ever met us, without ever having any sort of relationship, because it was before man was ever created that that plan of redemption had been prepared. And then the Lord made application of it in the way that he lived. And then he ratified it on the third day when he rose from the dead. And he did all of that preparation in all everything that he did, coming to this life, living the type of life as an example for us, going to the cross, dying and raising again the third day, being ascended into heaven for us. All of that preparation so that you, if you're not a child of God, would come to him. How in the world can you refuse when all of that was done for you? When all that preparation was made, how can you refuse him? And those of us here that are Christians, are things starting to change in our life? Where the meaning of that sacrifice that was made for us and our obedience just doesn't have that same meaning anymore? Well, things change. Conditions change. Not with our souls. Not with our souls. Not the need for the Savior. Not the need to do his will. The desire. Does your hearts burn anymore when you hear God's word? I'm not talking about the preacher now. I'm talking about God's word. Do your hearts burn? Or is it not as meaningful as it once was? Maybe there are situations that are in your family. Maybe there are situations with friends or others that are starting to draw you away from truly having that right heart of preparation to do the Lord's will. Come back to him today. Do so by confessing your wrongs with that humble, penitent attitude. And the promise that we have from that, 1 John, the first chapter in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is able to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will do that. Let's be a prepared people. Let's prepare for this life ending, because it will. And let's prepare for what Jesus will prepare for those that are righteous. That is heaven. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing. Stand up.